You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. With me this week from Brenthurst Wealth in Pretoria is Cherise Bierkers. Now, Cherise, you sent me an interesting article because this is a subject that we've done so many times, or I've done so many times with both you and your colleagues. And it's all about investing in South Africa. And you've got a very interesting take on it. You just say, why not just invest in South Africa? And some of your headlines are really good because you say things like, your portfolio should not mirror your passport, a big fish in a small pond, etc. But people that of a certain generation as well, I'm talking about here, Cherise, are familiar with South Africa. It's what they know. So they think, well, I'm going to stick to what I know. Is that something you come up against often?
Hi, Lindsay. Yes, it's good to be here. So it is a question I get often, especially from, I wouldn't say it's limited to the younger generation, older generation as well. But what they tend to ask me is why should they invest offshore when all of their expenses, etc., is in South Africa? And they understand South Africa. They live here. They know South Africa. I mean, the JSE hasn't done very badly, so why should they invest offshore? And then we would very often have to make a case for investing offshore. So yeah, it's definitely something we deal with quite often.
But also, some people might turn around and say, yes, I understand it. And also, it's done well recently, because I think I was speaking to an asset manager a couple of days ago, and he said to me that over 1, 3, and 5 years, South African equities have outperformed global equities. So there is a case to be made statistically as well, Cherise.
That's correct. So we have seen the JSE outperform over the past 1, 3, and 5 years, but that's not the total picture that we're looking at. If I were to take the JSE over the past decade, it did close to 12% or delivered close to 12% per annum in rand terms. But if you were to take that rand terms and divert it and take it to dollar performance in dollar terms, that was about 2% in dollar terms. So yes, in rand terms, it didn't, you know, disappoint at all. But I think there's a bigger picture that we need to take into account here, is that we're not saying you should take all your money out of South Africa. I mean, local investments still have and always will have an important role because we live here. Most of our expenses are in rands. But the question should simply be whether all of your investments should be local and in rand and exposed to local factors.
That headline I mentioned in my introduction, A Big Fish in a Small Pond, do you embellish that headline by saying that the All Share Index holds 119 shares? So you're talking about size and also diversity and also choice, because the MSCI, for example, has nearly 2,500 stocks. So it's a no-brainer, really.
Yes, definitely. So if you are thinking about diversifying, I mean, getting a diversified portfolio within only the JSE or local portfolio would be quite the task. The JSE or South Africa makes up below 1% of all global listed equities. So we're all fishing in the same shallow pond, and effectively we're not really getting much diversification. So there's definitely, you know, room for improvement. The 10 largest shares on the JSE makes up about 60% of the shares. So if you only invest in the 10 largest shares, you've invested in 60% of the JSE.
And also the market is shrinking a bit because we don't get the listings that we used to. I don't know if you are old enough to remember the late 1990s when there was a boom of both small tech companies and small financial services companies coming to the JSE. It's not the case anymore. Listings are few and far between, and delistings are more regular than listings. So there's fewer choice, but also there's a concentration risk. Now, I know concentration risk exists overseas as well, with the AI stocks in particular dominating 2025. But in the JSE, it's more pronounced. I think around about a dozen or 10 of the really big stocks make up 50% of the major index.
Yeah, that's true. As I said, so in the 1990s, that was obviously before I practiced. I was still in diapers, but you were looking at about round about 750 listed companies in South Africa, and that has declined to, or it's declined by almost 70% where it is today. So obviously, as we mentioned, the small pond or the shallow pond is very much a concentration risk for local shares. If you just look at the JSE, those top 10 shares, I mean, we can all name them by name. It's the Naspers, Prosus, the banks, your Anglo shares. Those are your most or your biggest shares in the JSE. So everyone has access to all of those same shares, be it in your RA or your pension fund or any local investment that you do have, you will have exposure to those because it's especially the same bond.
What about the rand? People try to trade the rand. People say, well, the rand is going to be stronger in the next couple of years, and it's been behaving rather nicely over the period of 2025, 2026. So I'm going to keep my assets local and take advantage of that. To me, that is a warning sign.
Yes, that's one we get very often. So now we've seen the client has agreed to invest offshore, or they see the value in investing offshore, and now they need to take their money offshore and invest physically in dollars, but now they want to wait for the rand. And they kind of try and see what would be the best entry point from a Forex point of view. But that's something that's counterintuitive, because at the end of the day, you can never predict where the rand is going to go. It might go up, it might come down. No one knows. So the best strategy you can have is to just get invested. And we can even do a phase in or phasing in instruction for you, where we phase in your money over a period of time, and there by that way you get exposure to a weighted average in rand. So I mean, if you just look historically, a dollar cost us around 6 rand 70 in 2010 2011, whereas today it's 16 rand 61. I just checked it before you phoned me. So that is roughly a 6% decline per year of the rand against the dollar. So
it's a powerful argument. Yes, it's a really powerful argument. I didn't realize it was that recent, that it was below 7 to the US dollar. That's quite extraordinary. So yeah, I mean, don't become a currency trader, I think, is the message that I'd like to put across here. You list a few questions here. We've mentioned the rand, questions that you're asked. You've mentioned the rand. And here's a comment from somebody that might be like this. It says, the JSE looks cheaper than global markets. Yes, sometimes it does look cheaper. There are some really beaten up stocks on the JSE at the moment. What would your response to that be, Cherise?
Yeah, so obviously the JSE, if a client sits across from me and they say to you that the JSE is looking a bit cheaper than global markets, I would say that valuation obviously makes Or it matters. Cheap markets can stay cheap for years. So you hold local value opportunities alongside global quality and growth opportunities, rather than forcing all of your money into one basket, almost like it's an all or nothing choice. Does it have to be either South Africa or either offshore? Why can't it be both? Why can't we diversify and have both?
We've spoken about global concentration and JSE concentration. The one that is interesting to me right at the end is someone says, but my expenses are in rands. How do you counter that one?
That's also, that's quite an interesting one. So yes, your expenses are in rands, but before you even open an investment portfolio, you are already exposed heavily to the local market. I mean, just look at where you own your house. Look at where you earn your salary. Look at where you are investing your pension fund in. So already before even opening an investment portfolio, you are exposed to local assets. And it's not a bad thing. That's exactly why you have to keep those meaningful local assets. But why would you want to tie your long-term growth to one economy and one currency and not diversified? If you just look at travel expenses, any imports, like technological imports, the cell phones, the laptops we use, all of them are priced in dollars. And that's why you need to keep up with that inflation.
The final point that you make is about the offshore allowance. Now, we've still got exchange controls, we know that, but they've been relaxed in a remarkable way over the last decade or so. And we've had one this year as well, because in the 2026 budget, the single discretionary allowance went from 1 million to 2 million. It's quite a surprise, actually, a pleasant surprise. So there's no real excuse not to diversify overseas.
Yes, I think that was a very welcome change in the budget this year, because if you look at 1 million rand 5 years ago or 10 years ago, it was worth much more than it is today. So we really welcomed it with open arms. All of our clients investing offshore have, most of them have already used their allowance. That is now 2 million rand per adult. And I think that's what matters, is the structure that you invest in. So obviously you can have offshore exposure via feeder funds or rand-denominated global fund, but it's not the same as physically owning externalized dollars and investing in physical dollars, because your money will always have to come back to rand if you just own it in a feeder fund, so to speak. So I think it was welcome. It was much overdue, and it's already been, we've used it for a few clients this year already.
It's beyond the scope of this podcast, Cherise, but I think what the message is here, yes, consider diversifying geographically, go overseas. It's proved to be very profitable over the years, but also the way that you do it is very important, getting the right structure. It's no point going overseas and trading yourself and making money if you don't have the right information about tax overseas and all sorts of other matters. But as I say, we can't speak about that now. What's your final message, please?
So I think you're absolutely right in saying that, Lindsay. I mean, this is not something that a lot of people would want to do on their own, because there are tax implications, there are exchange control implications, there are estate duty implications. So I think it would be best to maybe just see your financial planner, ask the question, and see if it's something that will fit in your portfolio, because 9 times out of 10, I can guarantee you that there will be room in your portfolio for offshore exposure, and it would be advisable to take it on. So I think it's just very important to speak to your local advisor and see where you can fit it in and in what structures it can be invested in.
Very good advice. Thank you very much for your time, Cherise. Cherise Birkes is from Brentus Wealth in Pretoria, and that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.